On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. And when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." And so they took it. And when the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. And the disciples believed in him. John 2:1-11. This is the first miracle of Jesus, and it took place about a month after he had been baptized by John, and while at a wedding where he was now being called upon by his mother to help one of those whom he had come to reveal himself to and the purpose of his ministry. He would turn the water into wine, and not just any wine, but the best. And as with our God, average is noticeable, but greatness is a more complete fullness of blessing. From this event, would he begin his journey and walk amongst the people for a period of 3.5 years, and they would watch him perform miracles. And they would both stand in awe of his teaching and express an anger for his revealing of the truth. And they would turn from loving him to feeling threatened by him and calling for his death on more than one occasion. He had come to stir hearts, to open eyes, and to proclaim to all that would hear the words of God by being alive in every way before them, a way by which they could embrace the truth. They could touch him. They could audibly hear him speak to them. And yet God they would not know. They could not understand his ways, and so they did not yet believe. But a few, those who became close to him, who walked with him, who slept, ate, and ministered with him, they began to know him as a man, to believe that he just may be the Son of God, and life for them changed in ways that they could not have imagined. And for 3.5 years, they walked with God in the flesh. And through Jesus, in their journey of faith, he changed forever the world, yours and mine, everyone's. We don't like to think of the days we have, nor the time that we've been given. Because if we did, we'd be focused on our frailty and would be forced to confess that we're not in control of our days and of our lives, and that there's something greater than us out there, a force, and we're at its mercy. If you were to think back on the past 3.5 years of your life, what would you see? For me, that time would be the beginning of life changing by losing my husband, Keith. And for all of us, we would watch as a dark shadow called COVID-19 would be let loose upon the earth, and we would suffer at the whims of both virus and of man in his attempt to define and control health and freedom. In that time, too much changed, and too many people lost their way to fear, and yet to this day bow before it in hopes that what they've sacrificed will be sufficient to see them safely through the maze of confusion that came and settled upon the earth. Jesus, his mother, and his disciples were guests at a wedding. And in those days, a wedding was not a simple ceremony and a reception and dance afterwards. It was a celebration of life, a life that was to be fulfilled in the union of a man and a woman, in the birth of their children, in the life that they would build upon and the role that they would play in the continuation of community. It was a time of relaxation, of celebration, a time to forget for a little while the burdens of everyday life and to sit with neighbors and friends and laugh, dance, to visit, to enjoy life. It was a costly event for the family, with food and wine for many guests, and often the celebration lasted several days. And so when we hear Jesus' mother telling him that the wine is run out, and yet the celebration continues, there comes a problem for the family of the bridegroom, for honor means much, and they will be embarrassed or socially frowned upon because they ran out of wine. This is the pressure that we put upon one another to act a certain way, to perform a certain way, to provide a certain way. It is what one does to another with expectations and the hardships that we go through to entertain beyond our means and satisfy the whims of man. Jesus' mother spoke to Jesus and asked him to do something because she knew who he was. And she asked him to intercede in this, and he responded that his time had not yet come. Did he have other plans for his ministry? Was he waiting for just the right moment to start revealing the plans he had, or did his hesitation have a deeper and greater meaning to it? After all, when word of this began to spread, there would be no turning back, and the clock would officially start the countdown to Calvary, to the completion of his mission, the fulfillment of his purpose. And he knew that the journey would not be easy, and the way would be filled with traps, with deception and great pain. He would here set before us the mission of our purpose. It is not our own comfort that we are to dwell upon, but to put ourselves out there for others and in helping them in whatever way we are being called to join in and help. It was a quiet miracle. There was no fanfare, no shouts of joy or clapping of hands or slapping on the back for a job well done, no. He simply told the servants to fill the water jars and to pour out and serve the water, now the finest of wines. Changed not by the wave of a hand or the chant of a mysterious prayer, but simply by the changing of contents because he willed it so, and by his power it was. This miracle was not to glorify himself, although he is justified in every way. Rather, it was to protect the well-being of another. It was to answer the request of someone he loved. It was not to quench his own thirst, but to bring pleasure to a family and friends, a community, as they celebrated the beginning of new life in the wedding of this man to this woman. The change took place within the vessel. Something ordinary, water, was changed into something extraordinary that day, and no one saw with clarity what happened, although they were witness to it by the sweetness of its taste when it was presented to them. Jesus performed the miracle. The servants knew of what he had done, and the disciples' faith grew, and the guests at the wedding were blessed by the event. This is how we are to look at our lives in the time that we are given here upon the earth. We are to look for Jesus to perform miracles, to answer prayers. And we as his servants are to take his word, take his hope out into a world that is dying of thirst, and to make known that there is a hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus' mother gave the example of being aware of what was happening around her, and she in turn took it to Jesus, and he changed everything that day, and glory was given to God, and blessings rained upon the people gathered there. Don't close your eyes to the things of this world, its problems, but embrace that just as you and I are on a journey, so are they who walk with us, and so is this earth. Proclaim the name of Jesus and intercede on behalf of those too weary and weak to cry out on their own. They are in need of a drink, and there is none with more meaning than this to partake of living water, to be filled as those water jars were that day to the brim, and then to pour out yourself amongst those that God has put around you. It will change not only them, but you yourself will find the fullness of God continuing like a never-ending stream of living water, overflowing the vessel that you call your body and blessing the Lord with your devotion and faith and living out before others the truth in what you believe in your heart. From Charles Spurgeon, bless thine inheritance and grant positive blessings, peace, plenty, prosperity, happiness. Make all thy dearly purchased and precious heritage to be comforted by thy spirit. Revive, refresh, enlarge, and sanctify thy church. Feed them also. Be a shepherd to thy flock. Let their bodily and spiritual wants to be plentifully supplied. By thy word and ordinances direct, rule, sustain, and satisfy those who are the sheep of thy hand, and lift them up forever. Carry them in thine arms on earth, and then lift them into thy bosom in heaven. Elevate their minds and thoughts. Spiritualize their affections. Make them heavenly, Christ-like and full of God. O Lord, answer this, our petition, for Jesus' sake. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name.